Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. There are moments in life that are really difficult. We all face them, and they can come in any situation that we may find ourselves in. Sometimes you're just going along in life, minding your own business, and something difficult or trying immediately hits you. Maybe it's brought on by someone else, or maybe it's something you've been struggling with. But we found a great quote from Charles R. Swindoll, and he's an American writer and clergyman. And this is what he said: "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home." The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the strong string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. We wanted to share a story with you today about hope, prayer, and just literally hanging on when life gets really, really rough. This one is kind of a tearjerker. It's told by President Thomas S. Monson, who is the prophet of the church, and it was a story he told in General Conference, April 2009, from a talk entitled "Be of Good Cheer." The story begins in East Prussia following World War II. Here it is in his own words.
"In about March 1946, less than a year after the end of the war, Ezra Taft Benson, then a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, accompanied by Frederick W. Babel, was assigned a special post-war tour of Europe for the express purpose of meeting with the saints, assessing their needs, and providing assistance to them. Elder Benson and Brother Babel later recounted, from a testimony they heard, the experience of a church member who found herself in an area no longer controlled by the government under which she had resided. She and her husband had lived an idyllic life in East Prussia. Then had come the Second Great World War within their lifetimes. Her beloved young husband was killed during the final days of the frightful battles in their homeland, leaving her alone to care for their four children. The occupying forces determined that the Germans in East Prussia must go to Western Germany to seek a new life and home. The woman was German, and so it was necessary for her to go. The journey was over 1,000 miles, and she had no way to accomplish it but on foot. She was allowed to take only such bare necessities as she could load into her small wooden-wheeled wagon. Beside her children and these meager possessions, she took with her a strong faith in God and in the gospel as revealed to the Latter-day prophet Joseph Smith. She and the children began the journey in late summer, having neither food nor money among her few possessions. She was forced to gather a daily subsistence from the fields and forests along the way. She was constantly faced with dangers from panic-stricken refugees and plundering troops. As the days turned into weeks and the weeks to months, the temperatures dropped below freezing. Each day, she stumbled over the frozen ground. Her smallest child, a baby in her arms, her three other children struggled along behind her, with the oldest 7-year-old pulling the tiny wooden wagon containing their belongings. Ragged and torn burlap was wrapped around their feet, providing the only protection for them, since their shoes had long since disintegrated. Their thin, tattered jackets covered their thin, tattered clothing, providing their only protection against the cold. Soon, the snows came, and the days and nights became a nightmare. In the evenings, she and the children would try to find some kind of shelter, a barn or a shed, and would huddle together for warmth with a few thin blankets from the wagon on top of them. She constantly struggled to force from her mind overwhelming fears that they would perish before reaching their destination. And then, one morning, the unthinkable happened. As she awakened, she felt a chill in her heart. The tiny form of her 3-year-old daughter was cold and still, and she realized that death had claimed the child. Though overwhelmed with grief, she knew that she must take the other children and travel on. First, however, she used the only implement she had, a tablespoon, to dig a grave in the frozen ground for her tiny, precious child. Death, however, was to be her companion again and again on the journey. Her 7-year-old son died, either from starvation or from freezing, or both. Again, her only shovel was the tablespoon. And again, she dug hour after hour to lay his mortal remains gently into the earth. Next, her 5-year-old son died. And again, she used her tablespoon as a shovel. Her despair was all-consuming. She had only her tiny baby daughter left. And the poor thing was failing. Finally, as she was reaching the end of her journey, the baby died in her arms. The spoon was gone now. So hour after hour, she dug a grave in the frozen earth with her bare fingers. Her grief became unbearable. How could she possibly be kneeling in the snow at the graveside of her last child? She had lost her husband and all her children. She had given up her earthly goods, her home, and even her homeland. In this moment of overwhelming sorrow and complete bewilderment, she felt her heart would literally break in despair. She contemplated how she might end her own life, as so many of her fellow countrymen were doing. How easy it would be to jump off a nearby bridge, she thought, or to throw herself in front of an oncoming train. And then, as the thoughts assailed her, something within her said, "Get down on your knees and pray." She ignored the prompting until she could resist it no longer. She knelt and prayed more fervently than she had in her entire life. "Dear Heavenly Father, I do not know how I can go on. I have nothing left except my faith in Thee. I feel, Father, amidst the desolation of my soul, an overwhelming gratitude for the atoning sacrifice of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. I cannot express adequately my love for Him. I know that because He suffered and died, I shall live again with my family. That because He broke the chains of death, I shall see my children again. And we'll have the joy of raising them. Though I do not at this moment wish to live, I will do so that we may be reunited as a family and return together to thee. When she finally reached her destination of Karlsruhe, Germany, she was emaciated. Brother Babel said that her face was a purple gray, her eyes red and swollen, her joints protruding. She was literally in the advanced stages of starvation. In a church meeting shortly thereafter, she bore a glorious testimony stating that of all the ailing people in her saddened land, she was one of the happiest because she knew that God lived, that Jesus is the Christ, and that he died and was resurrected so that we might live again. She testified that she knew if she continued faithful and true to the end, she would be reunited with those she had lost and would be saved in the celestial kingdom of God. From the Holy Scriptures we read, "Behold the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed in him, they who have endured the crosses of the world, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, and their joy shall be full forever." I testify to you that our promised blessings are beyond measure. Though the storm clouds may gather, though the rains may pour down upon us, our knowledge of the gospel and our love for our Heavenly Father and of our Savior will comfort and sustain us and bring joy to our hearts as we walk uprightly and keep the commandments. There will be nothing in this world that can defeat us. My beloved brothers and sisters, fear not. Be of good cheer. The future is as bright as your faith.
Isn't that story a tearjerker? In the last line from President Monson in the clip we just played for you, he said, "Fear not, be of good cheer. The future is as bright as your faith." That is a great reminder for us today, and that's the message we'd like to leave with you today. Thank you for joining us. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled "Free," and it's featuring the group Mercy River. Thanks again for being with us. Have a great day.
Far beyond the burden of this overgrown path, there are clear and open fields of green, green grass. How long has it been since you ran in those fields of green? Like a child let go and felt your hair fly in the breeze. And this is how God designed our lives to be. And find that place where the world is so open wide, where you look into the sky and let your deepest dreams run wild. We were meant to feel His goodness in this life.
close to love.